Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville for all your food plot growing needs. Western Brook Mower, where they service what they sell. Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your hunting and fishing needs. And My Firearms ETS for all your firearms education, training, and supply needs. You're listening to the Outdoor Show right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. I'm Tom Meddendorp, and I'm here with Bob Coles of MOA Gunsmithing, and we're talking about guns and gun handling. We are pre-recorded this morning, so hold your calls and just sit back and listen. How are you this morning, Bob?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, I'm glad you could come. This is a very important topic. You know, with teaching people about firearms, the topic of your gunsmithing needs, safety, and then gun handling, which is the thing that I think is the least paid attention to.
Yeah, right.
You can have the most sighted in gun in the world, but if you can't handle the gun properly, it's not going to hit the target.
Or they take it for granted on how dangerous it could be.
They take for granted the dangers. But I'm thinking, you know, when we're coming up on this firearm deer season, how often people shoot a couple rounds and say, oh, I'm on, but they're sitting at a bench.
That's right.
And sometimes they have it in a vise, and they're saying, well, it's on.
Right.
Well, that's good, but when the moment of truth comes, can you make it shoot on?
Right, yep.
It only takes a little twitch, a little flinch, and it just doesn't go there.
Yep, not only bench shooting, but it helps to do just prone shooting or offhand shooting. Try to get in the situations that you're going to hunt in.
Yeah, even if you have the availability, if you can shoot from a tree stand.
Right, yeah. Not everybody has that luxury, but...
You know, it's a totally different feel.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're a young one with a big gun, and you're sitting up in a tree.
Yeah.
Kaboom, whoa.
Well, the sway in tree plays a factor, too.
Plays a huge factor. And, you know, and it's hard to imitate that.
Yes.
But if you have the ability to imitate what you're going to run into, that's how you make it happen.
Yep.
You have to. There's no other way to just sit at a bench and say, well, I can shoot.
Right.
Not really.
Right.
Not if you have a rest for everything.
Yep.
You know, what if you're walking out from the woods or walking into the woods and a shot presents itself?
Yep.
Now you're offhand. Or maybe there's a tree you can go up against the side of. That's a whole different feel right there.
Right. Even warming up with some small game shooting and stuff. You're not going to get the buck fever feeling, but a lot of times you can be the best shooter around, and you're going to get that buck fever, and your heart's going to take off, and you're going to be just everything's going to be racing, and you're going to have
just
a hard time concentrating. Yeah.
Do push-ups before you
right.
shoot.
Yeah.
That'd be something right there, I'll tell you. But anyhow, when we're talking about guns and we're talking about gun handling, the smithing needs... Maybe somebody has their gun from years past. There's no smithing needed. But I often think about how cold it gets, especially if you have a semi-automatic.
Right.
It gets cold come November, and there's some really brisk mornings. What happens when you used the wrong kind of oil and the thing jams up?
Yep, things will stiffen up, and they'll slow down. Actions won't work good. It might short cycle on you. Too much oil is bad, like we had talked in previous shows.
Yep.
You need to use the right type of oil. That's going to be good for really cold temps and also for really hot temps. So there's one oil that'll cover all that whole spectrum.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be heating the gun up from shooting so much. But if you start out in the morning and it's below freezing and in the afternoon it's 65 degrees or something, there's a huge difference. And as that temperature changes, the metal swells and moves.
Right, and things will slow down if you use a different type of grease. A lot of people will grease the lug rails on the inside of the receiver. On a semi-automatic, they'll kind of coat everything in there, get it greased, get it flowing good, but that stuff gets thick and sludgy, and it slows things down. And it gets carbon fouling from spent rounds, and next thing you know, it's not feeding good, it's not ejecting good, you might have missed that shot.
I just had to take apart a friend's shotgun. It was back last rabbit season.
Yeah.
Semi-automatic shotgun, and it kept sticking on him.
Yeah.
And we got to looking at it, and we talked about the silicone impregnated spray.
Yeah.
He had used that on there, and the silicone stuff was just building up crazy.
Sure.
And you just, when it gets cold and you get that in there, that gets gummy.
Oh, yeah, it'll do that.
It just doesn't want to move. So I stripped it all out of there. And I put some good oil in there.
That's
this
good.
This is what you
got to
have.
Yep. Make a big difference.
He says, thanks. I'll just bring it back next time I need it cleaned.
Right.
That's not fair.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But actually, my son did the cleaning, so it was kind of good.
Oh, that's good.
He gave him a little cash.
Yeah. Yep.
It was good for him. But, you know, if we're getting ready for the season and we're at this point right now, just an overview. What are some of the things we should be looking at with our gun when we take it out of the case? There's some people that wait till the November 14th to take it out of the case.
Yeah, right, yep.
And, you know, you got to be careful because taking it out the last day,
right.
You're not going to be available, are you?
That's right. That's right. I'll be out there, too. Well, the thing you look at is a lot of people wipe down the outside, keep the outside clean. They're like, okay, we're good. But if it's a semi-automatic, pop the magazine out, and you can get quite a few solvents that you can spray in there. Make sure that they're polymer safe, because otherwise it will melt any plastics.
Gotta be careful with that.
Yep.
And some, if you're not using something manufactured for a gun, won't it take your bluing off too?
I haven't found any solvents that are that aggressive that'll do that.
Okay.
But they will strip the finish off your wood. You need to be careful of some of that. So you can't just hose it on there. You have to be careful where you're spraying it.
Right.
A lot of times you can spray through the injection port and let it, you know, rain down out the bottom of where the mag goes.
Yep.
A huge overlooked thing on magazines is people never clean the magazines.
They never take them apart.
Right.
Every magazine comes apart, by the way.
They do.
For the listeners, every magazine comes apart.
The bottom will drop out, the spring and the floor plate come out, and you'll have all kinds of little gems from the woods, little sticks and twigs and pine needles, pocket lint.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, when you touching on those mags for you folks out there, when you remove the bottom of the magazine, and then it's usually a slide mechanism where you push a pin in and then slide it loose.
Yep.
You remove that, and then you pull your spring out, and then the bottom plate is actually what I call a follower, because it follows the bullets up.
Right.
I call it that so that I remember what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Because the bottom plate, some people mistake for the bottom of the magazine.
Oh, right.
So I usually just call it the follower because it's following the bullets up.
Right.
That way people know what I'm talking about.
You're right, yeah.
But once you pull that all out, you can watch everything fall. Put a nice white paper towel underneath you.
Right.
Pull that apart and look at everything that comes out of there. You want to get your rag up in there and clean it out all the way around and then put a very light coating of oil on it, wouldn't you suggest?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what I do. On the inside, I put a light coating of oil.
Yep. A critical thing is when you do drop the bottom plate,
uh-huh,
and you control the spring pressure, because it'll have some pressure on it.
Yep.
When you disassemble that, pay close attention to the orientation of that spring.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure the spring goes back in the same way you took it out, because it will put upward pressure on the back portion or the front portion of the follower, depending on how it's assembled and how it has to go in the track. So don't just take that floor plate off, let her fling, pick it up.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch how it comes apart. Get it back together the same way.
Yeah, if you look at the spring, once you have it out, you can look at both ends.
Yep.
They're bent in a different location for the pressure that's being placed on the bullets to rise them up and make it so that they feed smoothly.
Otherwise, you're going to wonder why it's hanging up when it's feeding, or your follower is pitched weird in the magazine. Might have it in backwards, could have it in upside down. So make sure you watch that. It's not really as critical as it sounds as on the radio, but when you take it apart, you go, oh, I get it. It's not so scary.
Yeah.
I see how that goes.
I've had people, their magazine won't feed, and they had put the spring in upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Which changed the position on the bottom plate of the magazine.
Yeah.
Which made the spring rub the side on the inside,
and
the position on the follower, which made the rear end rise, so the nose was down,
and
it wouldn't feed the next one up.
Yeah,
and they were like, I just cleaned this thing.
Yep.
Oh, you just cleaned it? Okay, let's take this apart a minute. Flip the spring over, feeds like a dream.
Yep. Right.
And it's hard to see sometimes that little bit that it's off.
Oh, yeah.
They're made a certain way.
Yep.
I do enjoy the ones that are made so it doesn't matter which way.
Oh, okay.
I do enjoy those. A lot of my pistol mags are that way. It doesn't matter which way you put them back in.
Yep.
Which is nice. But remember, pistol bullets are a lot shorter.
Yes.
So they don't have that same pressure pushing on you.
Yep.
But anyhow, the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Western Brook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westenbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Jennison store, check them out on your computer at westenbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Select courses also provide you with the necessary training to apply for your Michigan Concealed Pistols License. Contact Tom Medendorp at 616-218-7328. Upcoming classes are scheduled. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot at 616-218-7328. We're back, but we're pre-recorded today, and we're talking all about your gunsmithing needs this morning. I'm talking with Bob Coles from MOA Gunsmithing, and we just started out with a little bit of an overview of some of the things that we need to watch for.
Right.
And we want to be safe. We want people to be safe.
Right.
A clean, functioning firearm is a safe firearm.
Right.
And then we just got to make sure that the guy operating it is safe.
That's the biggie, yeah. That's right.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about the magazines in the first segment and so on. What are some other things that we may want to watch out for when we take the gun out after it's been sitting there all year long, and we're going to get it out? And, folks, let me tell you, you got to get it out early. You got to check it. Because if you got to have something repaired or done, or maybe something you knew about the fall when you put it away, you forgot about.
Right. The 14th is a bad time to say, hey, can I get this fixed?
Well, and then what happens is your buddy says, hey, use this gun.
Yeah.
And you haven't sighted it in or checked it.
Right.
Well, we got to do that sighting in and checking, too. So what are some of the things that, when we take it out of the case, Bob, what do we look for?
Well, you want to just make sure overall condition is good. A couple pointers that most people overlook are you have your scope rings, the screws for those, the bases. If they're not dovetail or twist in, you've got screws you can tighten up for the weavers on the rail. And flip the gun over, and you've got your action screws, 2, sometimes 3, depending on the make of it.
Yep.
Make sure those are tight and snug. You might be able to get a quarter turn on some of that stuff. Make sure it's tight. Give you a little tip for all you Winchester Model 70 shooters out there with a 3-screw bottom. One is on the front by the receiver lug. One is on the tang. And when you open your drop plate, you'll see one more just ahead of the trigger.
Okay.
Just a little accuracy tip. Tighten up the other two, one by the lug, one by the tang.
Uh-huh.
And that one in front of the trigger, loosen it up. Put a little Loctite on there. I like to use 242 red. It's the container's
Loctite,
the container's red, but the chemical's blue. And run that screw back in.
It's a little confusing. Red container, and it's called red, and you screw it
right.
Out. Ooh, wah!
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, just run that screw snug.
Don't reef on it.
Yep, I've taken so many apart, and it's had probably 40 inch pounds of pressure on it. It will stress the receiver, and it'll throw your accuracy out the window.
That's
so that's only on Model 70, 3 screws on the bottom.
Model 70, 3 screws on the bottom.
Yep. Take that front screw, back it out after the other two are tight and snug,
mm-hmm.
and then just seat it. It's mainly to hold the front of the trigger guard in place.
Okay.
So,
but if we reef down on it, we're going to stress things.
You're going to stress the receiver. I mean, you're not going to bend things, but you're going to induce enough stress that under recoil and firing, you're going to wonder why you have these flyers in my groups opening up. So that's just things to look at on that. But generally go through whether you're using the Leopold Star Allen or using a conventional Allen or straight slot screws. Just make sure your scope rings, your bases are tight. You might find that, I had to turn this one a half a turn. It's going to make a difference. Things are going to shift. Your point of impact will move.
It's going to make a huge difference.
Right.
And I don't know if everybody really realizes how much difference. But there's something, when you're tightening up screws, don't get out the screwdriver you got in your toolbox.
Oh, exactly.
You're using on this and that and wearing them down.
Right, or the butter knife out of the kitchen cupboard, you know? You need hollow ground tip bits.
It's got to have a nice machined edge on it, I guess is what I'm trying to get to. because so often I run into people ask me, you know, what's wrong with this thing? And you got to take a screw out, and you look at the screw, and you're like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It just damaged this thing like crazy, sliding out of there and slipping. Then what if you hit your stock? You got a nice wood
or
stock.
Or the bluing, the metal.
Or hit the metal and scratch the bluing off. Then you got a spot that always likes to rust, or you got to put a little patch on there, and you can always see it, and you always remember, yep, I did that to my own gun.
That's right. If the tip will move in the slot, it's the wrong size. And width, we're talking width, too. It might fit. Not move, but it's not the full width of the screw head.
Right.
It could bulge up a corner on it.
Yep.
You know, and with everybody's rifles, shotguns, pistols, they all enjoy them. They like them to look nice, and they're finely crafted pieces of equipment. And nobody likes to have a buggered up screw head or something like that. It doesn't look good. It just doesn't look like good craftsmanship. So make sure those tips fit.
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't fit, it ain't working.
No. No,
and I've made enough of my own mistakes to know
that
it's not good.
Yep.
Anyhow, we'll be back in a little bit, and we're going to talk about some sight-in days that are available for folks in the evenings and on Saturdays.
Nice.
Coming up to the new season. Are you thinking about food plots? The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They carry over 40 different seeds for your wildlife food plots, plus many pre-mixed, pre-bagged food plot blends like G2, Northern Edge, and Tecomate, just to mention a few. The Farmers Co-op also has a full line of bagged fertilizers, including Triple 12 and 19, 624-24, potash, and urea for your food plot growing needs. Check out the Farmers Co-op for minerals and attractants, too. They've got Lucky Buck, BB2, Appalicious, and carrots and sugar beets in season. They've got you covered for all your fall hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. We're back, but we're pre-recorded today, so hold your calls. So what do you think, Bob? Do you think we're going to have a successful season?
Well, like I said earlier, it better cool down in another 30 days, so I don't need to be deer hunting in shorts and a t-shirt again.
This is true.
Didn't enjoy it.
No. I'm talking with Bob Coles from MOA Gunsmithing right here in Holland, Northside. How do we get a hold of you, Bob?
You can just call the house, 399-1699, leave a message, and I will call back. You may lose hope, but I will call. Might take a day or two. I'll call back.
399-1699. Give a call, MOA Gunsmithing, and becomes highly recommended by yours truly, me.
That's saying a lot.
we were talking about guns, gunsmithing, handling guns, safety with guns. We got the upcoming firearm deer season. I know it's only October 12th. Yeah, but you know what? You got to get your gun out, and you got to practice.
Oh, yeah.
Keep
sharp.
How many people do you know that have a box of ammo that they've had for
20, 30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they never went through it. They only shot that many rounds through their gun so far, and they really don't take the time to get a feel for the gun.
Well, they like to hit the elusive paper plate at 100 yards. You know?
The one that bends at the knees when the gun goes off?
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
You can hit a paper plate at 100 yards, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, my grouping's tight enough for deer. It's going to be big enough. Well, we really like to promote the fact that we have a good, clean, humane kill.
Yep.
And that means we want to hit them in the right spot, take them out quickly so they don't suffer.
Right.
We want them to expire. All too often I hear so many stories about people that have a semi-automatic and they shot seven times.
Yeah.
And they hit the deer seven times. Where'd you hit them?
Right.
You know? Of course, after the first shot, the deer was running, and they just kept shooting, but the deer kept running. And that happens. But when I hear those stories, I kind of cringe.
Right.
I'm not trying to downplay or belittle the folks that this happens to. Because it can happen to a lot of people. It can happen to anybody at any time. Something could go wrong. You could have maybe your eyes are blurry that day or something.
Yep.
I mean, physically something goes wrong, or with your gun something goes wrong. And that can happen. I understand it. But when I hear the stories, I think to myself, what was the cause? What was the reason? Why did it happen?
Right.
I usually don't ask the people that it happened to because they already feel bad.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So, but those are the kind of stories I just don't like to hear, because the majority of the time, or the overwhelming amount of the time, is the fact that when they got the gun out, they're using that box from 10 years ago,
right,
or whatever, of ammo. They shot once, they hit that paper plate, and they said, I'm on.
Good enough. Yep.
And it's just tough. It's tough to think that they even cleaned that gun in between shots because they only shot one.
Right.
They say, it's not very dirty. What are the effects of what happens with after we have spent powder inside?
Right. Yeah. Well, with the bore, obviously the bore has no lubricant in it, has no protectant for rust at all. Once you've shot down the bore, it's clean.
Yeah, you just took all the oil out.
Yep. What's left behind is a thin coat of copper and carbon fouling. And it's just like a bare piece of metal sitting there, and it will promote rust. If you just shot it, threw it under your bed, threw it in the gun case, put it in the closet, and forgot about it for a year, it's going to be pretty filthy dirty.
Yep.
There could be rust on the rifling. If you don't run a patch through there or do anything, and is that going to affect your accuracy? I'm thinking it will. And another part people don't think about is the chamber, where the actual cartridge goes into. If that has rust on it, any pits upon firing that case, that's got a lot of pressure and expansion.
Yep.
And if there's little rust pits in the chamber, it's going to want to grip that case, and you're wondering why the bolt is so hard to open, or sometimes in your semi-automatic, it rips the rim off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be worst-case scenario, but it can happen. I've had guns come in with just severely rusted chambers.
Really?
And I've had to polish them out. Some you can save, some the barrel's toast.
Well, also, sometimes people leave a gun, they didn't hunt for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they never touch it in between.
Yeah.
It sits there. That oil can disappear, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It'll
forever save them.
Right. Yeah. That's why a lot of times guys will go into their gun collection through the summer and wipe them down, run a patch down the bore, and just keep them clean. But people that if you neglect it, it's just like neglecting an oil change on your car. You're going to pay for it in the long run. You have to take care of them.
Yeah.
And the inside of the bore, the inside of the chamber, is highly critical to good functioning, accuracy, wanting to knock down that deer of a lifetime. You want to make sure everything is in order and clean, works good.
Yeah, how disappointing it would be if it was the biggest buck you ever seen. He was 15 yards away, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And I say 15 yards away, you know, it could be 15 yards away, and you ain't going to hit him anyway because you're looking through your scope trying to figure out where you're at. And that has happened to folks that I know, too.
Oh,
they're
sitting
in a blind, and a deer comes too close, and they can't get the gun on the deer.
Yeah, because they've left it up at 9 power or whatever because they were looking way out there.
Like, what the heck?
Nothing but fuzzy hair everywhere.
And that has happened, and, you know, we like to chuckle about it, but it's kind of disappointing,
especially
to the guy it happens to.
Yeah.
You know, so if we hit the magazine, we hit the screws, tightening up the screws, using a hollow ground tip of a screwdriver, and it's got to be the right size.
Right.
Fit the slot for width and for distance.
If you're going to mess around with that, go down and buy a small 20-piece gunsmithing set, screwdriver bit set with a driver, and it'll have just what you need. I mean, it's not going to fit every gun out there, especially them Brownings that have them little bitty teeny tiny, you have to grind your own bits,
the ones that I can't see.
Yeah But generally you're going to be able to, 90% of the applications it'll fit. Spend a little money on that, and you can get them fairly reasonable just about at any sporting goods store or big box store, and use that for any of your gun needs and stuff.
We can make sure the scope rings are tight, scope mounts are tight, nothing's going to move around.
Yep.
And once we go through all that, we check our magazines for any lint that built up or anything. We check for making sure that all our screws are in place and so on. We want to then check the cleanliness of the bore, the chamber, make sure that's good. And then we want to get out to the range. Well, what's cool is the Chickawa Sportsman's Club has sighting dates.
Nice.
Lots of them. If I'm looking at the calendar, I look at the calendar, and we start on November 5. That is Tuesday, November 5 at 5 p.m. is a sight-in day. I'm just looking at that, and it says 5 till 9, but I don't think you're going to be able to sight much at night. Seems how by 7:30 it's getting kind of
dark. Unless you've got some good lighting out there.
Right now. Actually, Dan does have a portable generator with lighting.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he's going to take that out there. I don't know.
Wow.
He might. He might take that out there. He's done that before for different events and stuff.
Okay.
So that people can see
to
do things. So it's on Tuesday the 5th, Tuesday the 7th, same thing. Starts at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, Tuesday the 5th, Thursday the 7th, starts at 5 o'clock. And then on the 9th, November 9th, there is a sight-in day also. Okay, rifle and pistol ranges will be available for doing that. On the 12th, 5 to 9 again in the evening, that's Tuesday.
Good. Yeah.
The 14th, also again, and here's the kicker. I'm sorry. It says Thursday the 14th. That's right. 15th is Friday. And if I get to the right spot on the calendar here, I'm clicking on it. I'm clicking on the wrong thing because there's...
the joy of computers.
Yeah. That's a killer. Okay, I think I got it. I missed a date. I knew there was two Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
In the past, sometimes, and this is possible too, folks, that there could be a sight-in day on the 16th because there's people sometimes go out on the opening day, have a bad shot, they don't know why, come down to the range, check it out. I don't know if it's open for that or not, but go on the calendar, check it out. It's possible that there'll be somebody around to do that. There's also a phone number to call on the website. You can get a hold of Dan or other people. Well, if it's during hunting, it's going to be tough to get a hold of Dan.
Yep.
But anyhow, it's Saturday, November 2 is the first day of the sight-in days. And then Saturday, November 9. So we got two Saturdays. The Saturday times go from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. That's 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. for sighting in on Saturday. But if you can't get there on a Saturday and you want to go on a Tuesday or Thursday, you have the 5th, the 7th, the 12th, and the 14th to get down there. Get down there at 5 p.m.
Yep.
Make sure you're there so you can get sighted in. I don't know if you're going to be there any days. You went last year.
Yeah, I did. And the range master is extremely helpful with people that needed any sort of help. One word of advice is just bring some targets. He had some, but he didn't have enough for everybody. So just go down and grab a bag of targets so you've got something to pin up. But
well, I know Tim's got them down at the store.
Oh,
down at the power
there you
board. Go. He's got some packages hanging up on the rack there. You get, I don't know, 5 or 6 targets in a package, I'm guessing.
Yep.
I buy more bulk, so
I
don't know exactly how many's in a package. Yep. But I know Tim's got them hanging there over at the Powderhorn, so that would be a good place to stop by and pick up some targets to sight in because he's got the ones with the gritting.
Yeah, it helps for dialing your scope. I mean, you can get it on paper at 25 yards where they've got a nice range there, push it out to 100, and you're going to want to look at the grid so you know your click adjustments. You
right.
can count the squares, do the clicks. It saves a lot of walking back and forth.
Yeah, a lot of walking
back
and forth.
Yep.
Use your spotting scope to see where you're at and then make the adjustment. It would be really neat if we had Wi-Fi cameras and computers sitting by the
camera
shining on the target, and you could look at it right up close on the screen.
There you go.
That'd be sweet.
Maybe you should outfit each bench with that.
I would love to. There's a little bit of expense.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland and ask about the storage options at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Select courses also provide you with the necessary training to apply for your Michigan Concealed Pistols License. Contact Tom Mettendorf at 616-218-7328. Upcoming classes are scheduled. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot. 616-218-7328. We're back, but we're pre-recorded today, so please hold your calls. And we're almost done.
Yeah. Yep.
We
it
only
goes
got
fast.
A few minutes left.
I mean, I know.
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. Maybe 10 minutes left or something like that. Maybe a little bit more.
Maybe you should do two-hour shows.
Oh, goodness gracious. I can talk for 2 hours.
Okay. Good.
I just like to talk.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, we talked about sighting in and getting things sighted in after
right.
we get prepped. Was there anything we missed getting prepped before we try that sight in?
Just make sure, you know, everybody's eyes change. And we had talked in previous shows, probably look at a podcast and hear us talking about optics and scopes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Adjust the back ocular lens of your scope because your eyes are going to change. You're going to know why it was a crisp picture last year or 2 years ago. And this year it's just blurry. Don't run out and buy another scope, put it on there, adjust it a little bit to your eyes, and get it into focus.
Yeah.
That's a huge overlooked item on scopes.
Yeah, I usually overlook keeping my glasses on my face.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yep. Why is that? Oh, forgot my glasses.
Right, yeah. That makes a big difference, too.
You look through the scope, you say, what is wrong?
Right.
Oh, I was doing it with my glasses
yeah.
last time.
Yep.
That happens. It happens.
Yep.
Just the way things go.
We all get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. All you people in Tim's age bracket, just remember, you'll be there. Anyhow, you know, you mentioned going to the podcast. Folks, you can go to WHTC.com, over to media, on air. I'm not exactly sure of all the tabs, but it's pretty easy to get
yep.
to, and it's the podcasts. And then you go to the outdoor show, and you can look back through there. It wasn't that long ago we talked about some optics.
Right,
on
we did.
Show.
Yep.
And there's a lot of good information that we cover on there. So go ahead and check that out
yep.
on the podcast.
Yep.
All our pre-recorded shows are there. I don't know all of them, but there's quite a few.
Yeah, there
quite
is.
Quite a few.
Yep.
But we covered tightening down the screws and all that stuff, and we get to that the sighting in, and we talked about being safe to sight in, sight
yep.
in days. When we're sighting in, though, what are some of the common problems people run into and they can't seem to zero it or get it narrowed down or get a good group?
Well, a lot of times it's their grip or their hold. You know, it's just too much of a death grip on there. Or
mm-hmm.
you're hurrying the shot. You're taking your trigger finger and just really reaching in, going into that first index line on your finger. That's too far on a rifle. You need to just touch
yeah.
the pad, just the tip of the pad behind your fingernail.
Yep.
That and a nice easy grip. You don't want to squeeze the pistol grip area of the buttstock. You will throw your shot.
Yep.
You want light cheek pressure. If you grind your cheek against there, you're going to throw your shot. And your offhand, so if I'm a right-handed shooter, so my left hand, you don't need to wrap it around the barrel or grab it like you would a baseball bat. Your
I've
left
seen
hand.
Some people put their thumb right over top.
Yeah.
And I've never figured that
some
one.
Some people, I know a guy who shoots well doing that. I don't understand
yep.
it, but it messes up barrel harmonics and all that. But for shooting on the bench, for shooting groups, uh-huh. your weak hand should just lay on the bench. You maybe want to squeeze the rear bag to, you know, raise the buttstock a little.
Okay.
But just ease into the gun nice and easy. Make sure it's firm against your shoulder, but not really pulling tight where you're shaking.
Yep.
And just try to relax.
And that's when we're doing the bench shooting.
Yeah.
When we're doing offhand shooting.
Well, when you're doing offhand shooting, you want a nice solid hold. You want to kind of lean into it. I see so many people that when they're holding the rifle, they're leaning back.
Tipping back.
Yeah.
Well,
you want to anticipate recoil. You want to lean into it.
You know, and it's funny that you mention that because there are two schools of thought. When we shoot muzzleloaders, you know how heavy a muzzleloader
oh, yeah.
get. You know, you got the real thick barrel.
Yeah.
That's a heavy barrel. For the competitions, we learned at a young age to actually tip back, put your, I'm right-handed, so my
yep.
left hand, which is out at the forearm, bring that back on the forearm,
oh,
which
okay.
now the gun becomes heavier, right?
Right.
But if I'm tipping back or throwing my left hip forward, I can drop
oh,
my elbow
sure.
right down into my rib cage, and that steadies it, except for when you're breathing, right?
Right.
Well, when you take that shot to breathe, you take that deep breath, you let out half of it, and you stop. When you stop,
yeah,
that's when the gun's the most steady. And then the whole, everything to do with squeeze and the
yep.
tightness on your shoulder, all that stuff all comes into play.
Right.
Same when we were standing at the bench. So that's one school of thought. The other school of thought, and I think that it's a correct school of thought, is because target shooting, there's no stress, so right. to speak, with a live animal out in front of you. And you're taking more of a relaxed
yep.
kind of
You can take your
attitude.
Time. Yep.
Okay. When you're dealing with that buck in front of you.
Right. yep, that little 15-second window between those two big yeah. pine trees.
You got to get more of an aggressive attitude, but yeah. not a fully aggressive attitude. And when you take that little bit of lean into the gun, guns today are manufactured much lighter than
oh, yeah.
the old muzzle loaders. So the lighter the gun, the easier it is to hold it up out there.
Yep.
But you're only holding it for 15 seconds.
Right.
It's not like you're going to get weak. So when you do that, what it kind of does is gives you an aggressive stance. I could liken it to maybe when we're looking to throw a baseball.
Yep.
You step into it and you throw the baseball.
Right.
When you shoot instinctive archery, you are leaning forward into it and you bring it back and shoot. You watch a lot of people stand upright when they've got sights on their
right.
bows. They're upright and they come back and they take their time. But when you're shooting instinctively, your bow is down until it's time to shoot. You bring it up and you release it. Once it gets to your checkpoint, you know, on your cheek.
Right.
So it's the same thing with the rifle. You get in place and you kind of take that little forward aggressiveness
yep.
and then you squeeze the trigger. And I think it gives you a much more steady positioning of your gun without the shake.
Right, which comes right back around to what you said earlier.
Yep.
Get out there now and do it. The common
yeah.
denominator here is practice. Get out there,
yeah.
get used to it. you're going to be standing out there. You might have to swing left. You might have to swing right, and that could be your weak side.
Yeah.
Like if I'm right-handed and I swing far hard right, that's really awkward.
That's very awkward.
So things like that, you just need to practice and get out there, and then you can do those aggressive stance, lean into it,
yep.
you know, work on your hold. You know, are you shaky looking through the scope and there's no way you could hit anything? Is it floating all around?
Right.
So practice. A lot of truth in that school of thought.
Oh, yeah. And you know, so you can pick either school.
Yep.
But it's going to depend on your stress.
Yeah.
Your time frame.
And what works for you.
Yeah, what works for you. Because, you know, when we talk ergonomics, we're talking about isometrics. We're talking
yes.
about movement of muscle. And that's why I think that aggressive stance gives you an advantage under time pressure.
Yep.
The relaxed stance gives you an advantage under no time pressure.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. And that's what we teach. That's also what we have practiced
yep.
and tested to figure out what works best. Does it work for everybody? So far.
Yeah.
Yep. Depending on your situation, it's worked very well.
Yep.
So, again, that's getting back to the range.
Right.
Make sure you can, right?
Find what works for you. Find what's comfortable. Practice it. And then when you're out in the field, it'll be second nature. You don't have to think, now, did I want a loose hold? Did I want a tight hold?
Exactly.
You know, what did I want? You've practiced it enough. You know what it feels like. You're going
to
snap it up.
Yeah,
get
you don't
the,
have
get
to
the sight picture. Squeeze a shot. Take it. Drag them to your truck. Or your car.
Or your bicycle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever you take out there.
But it's the practice part is what makes
yes.
the difference.
Oh, yeah. You can't stress enough about you need to practice. And I know ammo is expensive right now. It's kind of hard to come back, but the prices are coming down.
They are.
The shelves are getting filled up a little more. And spend the money and practice, because that's why you're going out there to hunt, to bag the game you're after. And you've got to get out and do some practice.
Well, you know, we do all of that stuff. But before we go, I'm wondering, different brands of ammo, say a Remington
yep.
versus a Federal versus a Fiocchi or whatever
yep.
it might be, the different brands, will they shoot different?
They will. If you took six different brands and took one round out of each box, and they're the same weight bullet, say they're for your 270, they will print different. Because everybody has a different recipe.
Uh-huh.
And that is the hardest thing to find out from a manufacturer, is what their powder recipe is.
Right.
And they're going to print different. The point of impact will be different. So find a brand that shoots good. Find a weight grain that shoots good. And stick with that. Don't just clean your drawer out by your hunting bench and say, okay, I've got six different brands, I can load up the mag and ready to go. Because you're going to be in trouble.
It ain't going to happen
right.
very, very nicely.
Right, yep.
So, if that can happen, Because we've talked in previous shows about the weight of the bullet, that stuff. But if we're talking different manufacturers, how much can the difference be? I know with shotgun slugs, it can be huge.
Yeah.
But with rifles,
Say at 100 yards, it's a 2-inch difference. Push that out to 400 yards or 300 yards. Yeah. It's going to magnify.
Yeah.
So it could mean the difference between getting a killing shot and missing completely.
Yeah.
So some stuff just shoots terrible, and you don't know why, but you take this exact same thing, like say in a Remington brand, for example, and it shoots good.
Yep.
And you might pick up Federal, and it doesn't. It all has to do with the powder they're using, the blends.
And so somebody could have gone to the range last year and did great with that 10-year-old box, but now it's empty.
And
that was a Remington. So
and you have lot difference.
Yeah, they picked up a...
If you find something that shoots good, you want to buy ammo in a lot. And I don't mean like a grocery cart lot. I mean the production lot. So you want to stick with the same lot number. I have a shotgun that shoots some Winchester ammo, and I always try to buy the same lot number when I'll clean the store shelf off, and I'll shoot that whole lot number up. When it's gone, then I'll try it again, but I'll see how it prints before I buy bulk quantities of it.
So you buy one box.
Yeah, and see how it shoots. If it shoots the same, okay, that's good. I can buy more of that, but try to get them the same lot number.
Awesome. You know, we didn't even get to shotguns today. We were all about rifles.
Yeah, I know. It seems like we're always hung up on center fires.
That's because we like them.
Yeah, right.
We can't help it. Anyway, thank you, Bob, for coming in.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
The show with us. Hope you guys all have good luck out there.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be back again next week, and we'll talk to you then. But until then, remember our sponsors, and when you use their services, tell them you heard it on The Outdoor Show. Thank you for listening and participating in this week's edition of The Outdoor Show. We'll be back again next week at the same time and on the same station right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station.